This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. It's good to have on BPN Radio here today, your 24-hour internet prayer station, broadcasting around the clock and around the globe, calling America to pray. And it's an honor to have on BPN Radio today a man who has been my friend now for over 13 years and currently serves in our United States Congress, representing his district in New Mexico. I first met Steve when he was running for the U.S. House of Representatives in 2002. He came to the church that I was leading at that time in Roswell, New Mexico, shared his story concerning why he wanted to represent my district in D.C., and immediately I felt a connection. I said, absolutely, come and speak to our church. And I remember before the service, we prayed together, and as he was leaving, I remember making a prophetic proclamation that I would be coming to D.C. to visit him. And, of course, that did come to pass. Steve, I want to welcome you to the broadcast. And you've had an incredible journey serving there in your state as their representative in Congress. And I know that you are a veteran. You've had you've wrote a book. I really enjoyed reading your book. And you're doing a great job there. Welcome to BPN today.
Dale, it is nice to be with you. You will recall that I told many people it was never my objective to be in Congress. I was happy being in Hobbs, New Mexico. I feel like God literally picked me up by the scruff of the neck and carried me up here. Once I got the picture that that my service was changed from being a business owner in Hobbs, New Mexico, we sold our business. We committed 100%. Of saying we, my wife and I, committed 100% to this job. It's been 12 years now that we've been here, and starting to see some small shifts that indicate the earth is shifting underneath us. I believe that the American people are ready to stand up and fight back and reclaim the nation that was the great America, not what we're seeing in front of us right now.
Yeah, I just felt like it was a good time to have you on because there's so many things happening in D.C., and I know that you have a front row seat serving there in Congress. I know that you are born-again Christian. I know you guys pray together. Many of your colleagues pray together. But I just know there's so many changes. I believe that this is probably the most critical year in the history of our nation. And, you know, I just felt like from your perspective, I was wanting to ask you what is happening on Capitol Hill, particularly in the light of the death of Justice Scalia. I just felt like when he died, there was just like a hole in the earth because he'd been such a champion for the Constitution and what the framers intended. So can you give me from your front row seat, can you give me a perspective, give us, our listening audience, a perspective of what is happening there on Capitol Hill?
Well, the first thing is that the passing of Scalia hit me like a ton of bricks. Yeah. He was the one I counted on to be scrappy and ask the right questions to both sides. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a strong Republican, but I don't want our system to become about Republicans, Democrats. I want it to be for the American people. Mm-hmm. And so I miss him. One of the quotes that I give from him is he's talking about religious faith and public life, and he says, have the courage to have your wisdom regarded as stupidity, be fools for Christ, mm-hmm. and have the courage to suffer the contempt of the sophisticated world. Mm-hmm. And he literally did that in his day-to-day life. You know, people on both sides would kind of rouse him. He was unconventional. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, he was solid in his in his political view of life and the way it occurs, but also the spiritual view of life and the way that occurs. So what's going on in Capitol Hill is going on in America. It's the people are choosing Trump, and they're leaning in the, on the Republican side, and the Democrat side, they're moving towards Bernie Sanders. Now, I do not believe at the end of the day Sanders will be the nominee, because the political difficulties of the machine are just too great. Mm-hmm. But you see the great movement of people to those two sides of the political spectrum, which indicates the anger and the fear and the frustration out there. People are angry that they see the nation simply giving up its values. They see us giving up our prosperity. They see a government that is taking away our freedoms. And those religious freedoms are included in economic freedoms, political freedoms, all of it being removed. And so that's the reason for the fear, the frustration, and the anger that's among the people causing this movement to these two sides of the political spectrum. So it is the way it is. I have never been a conventional go-along party guy. Mm-hmm. We've always voted very independently. We started the Congressional Prayer Caucus, where Andy Forbes and I, back in 2005, started that. We meet in room 219 off the floor of the House of Representatives during the first night of votes. Mm-hmm. In order to pray for the nation. So we're just we're up here trying to make a difference, and the nation is choosing whether it's going to move towards socialism or if it's going to re-embrace the free market, freedom, the liberty that made America great. That's the decision going on among your neighbors and your friends right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree that I've never seen a time like these times. And that's why that I'm calling America to pray. I've been doing it for a long time, and I believe that we must have a turnaround in this nation, and because I believe that we're headed the wrong way, and I believe only God can help us. But I believe that prayer is a key factor in that. What is your perspectives on the presidential race? Do you have any personal insights there?
I do not. Again, all of the conventional wisdom, the personal insights, the polls, everything are being tremendously wrong. I know why it's happening. I just don't know what's going to happen. But the anger of the American people is gravitating towards Trump, and mm-hmm. he's the only one they feel has the stamina to take on these hard issues that need mm-hmm. to be taken on. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe the public is right, maybe they're wrong, but this is the direction they're moving. Mm-hmm. So if he's the nominee, he said some things that offended large chunks of the population. Hispanics said they won't vote for him, but in Nevada, looked like he won the Hispanic vote in Nevada. So you just have to say that this is kind of an unprecedented time when no one knows what the outcome is going to be. Now, if he starts serving, he's going to absolutely have to move in tune with the American people when he starts choosing policy. It's one thing to campaign and another thing to govern. Mm-hmm. So that's our role as a Republican Party, him as a Republican, us as Republicans, is that we center him. We are the rudder for him. We cause him to track more true. Right now, he's pretty erratic, back and forth on the issues, back mm-hmm. and forth on his, and this is simply a part of his campaign. So we are the rudder for him if he gets elected, and it will be up to us to be the deep value set for the country.
Mm-hmm. What do you think a Trump presidency would look like?
Well, I just don't know. He says that he would have the best of everything. Sometimes he has in his business. Sometimes he hasn't. So the American people, again, are choosing him because he will address the issues. How he actually plays it out, you never know who people are going to choose to put in their cabinet. You don't know even if they put it in the cabinet if they're going to listen to them. I think he's a very unknown source. His mm-hmm. business has always been him making the decisions. You can pay people to do exactly what you say, but when you're running the country, you've got to have more of a consensus. You just can't do executive orders on everything. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court is even telling Obama that he is way out of line, that he's not following the law, not following the Constitution. And I think if Mr. Trump were the president and were trying to implement some of the things he wants to, it's a slow, tedious process getting laws through, and he would want to revert back to the executive orders. And so that's a fight we're deeply in with this president, and I suspect that Congress would stay in the fight even with someone with their own party, because at the end of the day, the Constitution is this agreement between the American people and its government. The Constitution needs to survive in order to give us, the nation, the legal standing and the legal background to make rule of law the most important thing, not who you know, but the rule of law being most important. So that's as much as I can say on a possible Trump presidency.
Yeah, but why are so many evangelicals voting in the primaries for Trump when, you know, there's a lot of liberal views that he has or has been accused of having concerning Planned Parenthood, concerning abortion, concerning some of those issues that really concern the evangelical population? Why are so many voting for him?
That played itself out in South Carolina very much. Mr. Cruz is by far the leading evangelical candidate. He campaigned there on the Constitution and his Christian beliefs, I don't think he won one county in the evangelical sector. Trump won all of those.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that our evangelicals are choosing their anger over the policy. Mm-hmm. In other words, you always are going to have to make a choice when you walk in the voting booth. Do I think economics are important? Do I think national security is important? Do I think that the life issues are important? And with Mr. Trump, they're deciding that their anger at the system trumps everything, using a word that kind of confuses. But it's the most important thing. So, and that's a very important piece of the puzzle to understand what is going on, is that no matter your faith beliefs, that your fear for the country, your fear for your personal safety if ISIS gets into the country, mm-hmm. is right now being the most important thing.
Yeah.
And people are just desperately want the U.S. to be winning again.
Uh-huh.
And so they say, well, he might be that, he might do that, but I'm going to choose over here because I deeply distrust Washington. So that's as much of an explanation as I can give you, Dale.
Okay. Well, that sounds reasonable, I guess, from most of the evangelicals' perspective. What about, will there be a Supreme Court appointment this year?
There will be an attempt to appoint. We talked to Mr. McConnell. He came to the House Freedom Caucus, of which I'm a member, came to our board, of which I'm a member of that, and said that he will not even have a hearing on anyone that Mr. Obama nominates. He believes, and I think he's correct in it, that we should not allow the lame duck president to choose somebody who will be in office for the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let the American people decide. Let's let the American people choose the president, knowing full well that the president has a vacancy already that is going to be filled. Let the American people speak to this, not a lame duck president. I think that Mr. McConnell is right. And he said he will not move from that position. He does not have to have presidential support in this. So I take him at his word.
Yeah. Well, I believe it's going to be a very interesting year, 2016, in America. But I believe that there are people praying. I know there's a prayer effort going on in the Capitol, and you mentioned the prayer that you helped start in Room 219. And you guys, how often do you pray?
Once a week we gather as the prayer caucus, first ever in our nation's history, even with all of the pastors and things when the nation first started, it was still not a prayer caucus, and we have that. So we meet at the first votes. It's either Monday or Tuesday night every week.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you see that little clock ticking on the House of Representatives, that means we're voting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll run in, vote, and then go to Room 219 and have prayer during the time that we're voting.
Oh, that's great. That is great. How can people, I believe that people can join that effort, can't they, on the Room 219?
Just Google Room 219 Congress. You can put Randy Forbes in there. He's the head of the Congressional Prayer Caucus. And you should be able to sign up so that you can be praying at the same time that we are all across the country, all across the world. I think it's extremely important. There are multiple Bible studies going every week up here, so people think that Washington is kind of just a pit of iniquity. The truth is that even people who don't go to any of the Bible studies, not part of the prayer caucus, most people here are very decent. Mm-hmm. They are good people with good hearts. We have mm-hmm. a lot of people who are here attending these Bible studies in order to stay grounded in the things that brought them here, and those are very important.
Absolutely. Well, I understand there's a lot of born-again Christians there serving in Congress.
There are, and I can't give an actual number. The ones that are involved in things around that I can say I see regularly at the events, probably a number between 40 and 50. I'm sure the number is considerably larger, but that's the ones who are active in the same kind of areas that I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve, I highly esteem you and your work. I know you're a man of tremendous integrity. It's been an honor to be able to come to D.C. and visit with you. And when I was in Roswell, you came and, of course, spoke at our church on two or three occasions at the graduation of Gateway Christian School. We have a lot of listeners there in Chavis County. I know you're doing a good job. Do you have, what is your future plans? You plan to continue staying in Congress?
Again, I feel like I came here at God's insistence, not mine. And so, we changed our lifestyle. My wife and I made the commitment here. We believe that we'll serve until we're either not elected or I just feel like I'm not doing the job. Mm-hmm. I'm 68. I've got a lot of energy. We are still, I love the fight. We are in a fight for the future. And so I tell people I didn't go to Washington to fight, but that's what it requires, and I will do it gladly.
Yeah.
And so, so I love what we're doing. We generally just run one election at a time, so I'm running for re-election at the end of this year. And if that's successful, I'll serve those 2 years of time during that 2 years, make a decision on what we're doing next. That's the way I've done every time here.
Well, I know you're a fighter. I really enjoyed reading your book. How can people get your book, by the way?
They can just go online. You can Google Just Fly the Plane, Stupid. It's my story of my life. I've got quite a few people came up at the convention last week in New Mexico, said they had read it during the year. I talk a lot about our faith life. I also talk about the ways that small, insignificant things, and some people say that it's God's plan and he touches your life. Other people say, well, that's just untrue. It's just circumstance. But I talk about those points in my life where a single word, a single incident, was a hinge point, kind of like a gate, and the gate mm-hmm. swung a different direction. Mm-hmm. And so those hinge points happen in every life. For myself, at some point, there's just too many of them to say it's coincidence.
Yeah.
And so I just believe those are the times when God is touching us, saying that I'm going to move you this direction now. And so after I finished, we talked about a lot of those circumstances where something had happened in the family. Mom was reading, and she said, she said, son, I really appreciate that you've given kind of a sense of understanding about those mundane things in our life, which no one gave much credibility to at the time, but you're able to look back after 60 years mm-hmm. and identify that this is where it changed us. And so I talk about starting our first home was a little chicken coop. They got the chickens out, and we moved in. It still stands today south of Lubbock. And
wow.
Still has a dirt floor in it, no indoor plumbing, has the same chicken wire on the windows that they put cardboard over to stop the sand from blowing in. And so I tell people that so they understand that if God wants to move you from being the son of a sharecropper to Congress, he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is not to worry about where we're going in life. Our job is to do our work every day and stay faithful to our values, to stay true to those things that are our belief system, and the rest is not up to us. And so, again, I did not choose to be here. I came here, and I served willingly. I could just as easily be serving back in Hobbs, New Mexico. I would be doing very similar things. I'd be out contending for people that they could improve their lives, that they could, that they themselves are the architect of the future, not outside forces, not government or whatever. And so that's a message that I have still. So just flying the plane, stupid, just says, I got into a circumstance where I really didn't know if I was going to survive or not. I was flying, and I came down to one rule of flight, that is, fly the plane, do what I can with what I had. And it became my rule of life. I was not a natural pilot, and so in the Air Force, the instructors always be banging me around and shouting stuff because it was not very good. It was kind of clunky. And I'd be saying under my breath, don't get mad. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Just fly the plane, stupid. That's what I said to myself. So I got in the circumstance where I wasn't sure I was going to live. Yeah. And literally, I was wanting to give up. I was at 14,000 feet over by Childers, Texas. Kept thinking, I don't want the dead-gum sheriff from Childers, Texas to find me in my plane out here. So fly the plane, stupid. Just fly the plane. I was screaming at myself not to give up. So it kept me alive, and it's gotten me through. When I get into hard circumstances in politics, I even have staffers come in and say, just fly the plane, man, just fly the plane. That's our kind of code word to keep us focused on what we can do at the moment with what we have.
Well, I read the book, and it's a tremendous book. In fact, I want my grandsons to read your book because it talks about your small beginnings all the way up into the United States Congress, and it just proves that all things are possible and nothing is impossible. I read your book, and it really was a tremendous book to read, and I would just encourage anybody that would like to read the story of Congressman Steve Pierce. You can get the book, Just Fly the Plane, Stupid. And I was, I'm sure that was some tense moments there. And in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to say a prayer because I know that you are a man of prayer. But I also know that, are a small businessman and you worked your way up with hard work and integrity and doing the right thing. And I know you're in the oil and gas business. Do you have an encouraging word? Because I know that so many of my friends are being laid off in the oil and gas business, and so many are in fear of losing their jobs. Do you have an encouraging word for those guys out there?
It's yes, and we in these moments we find out what and who our God really is when we fear. Well, Churchill said it himself. What we've got to fear is fear itself. In other words, there's a lot of stuff out there. There are jobs that go hungry. They're not the jobs that paid as well as we had before. And at the end of the day, we can all live much simpler, much quieter lives. We might not have our phone. We might not have all the cable TV channels. So, first of all, live within your means and calm down. Listen to God and listen to your heart. Don't be believing the world that that you got to be out 9 to 5 or you just can't make it. And so it's decide where your belief system is and approach it with confidence. The second thing is don't be afraid to change. Sometimes God is giving us indications that it's time to move on, time to do something different. And so... so look inside yourself to see where your strengths are, where your desires are. I tell the story that less than 5 years ago, so 4-point-something years ago, a little deal called Uber started up. It had 3 drivers. Today, it's worth $60 billion. Wow. So maybe this is your opportunity to make your own Uber. Maybe you start something that might not be worth $60 billion, but do your own business. The fact that the people are struggling doesn't mean they're going to need plumbing. They're going to need wiring in the house. In fact, in times of economic stress, that's a time when people quit building new houses and they rehab the one they got.
Mm-hmm.
They don't buy new cars, so they need somebody to fix the alternator for them.
Yeah.
So just be out there. At one point in my life, we had gotten down. We were laid off. I was laid off in the oil field, and I got down to where I was doing taxes for people in my neighborhood. I was going door to door, charging $15 for doing taxes.
Oh, wow.
My wife and I had to suck it up and figure out what we could do with what we had.
Mm-hmm.
It was after that that we got our business. So believe me, I've been exactly where people are out there. Again, that confidence, that belief, that faith. This, all of us can be faithful and have confidence when mm-hmm. it's good. It
yeah.
is when it's bad that we are tested. And
mm-hmm.
so just, again, I encourage everyone to find that inner strength, that inner peace that comes from understanding.
That's great. That's great. Well, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I just believe that God's gonna help us as we continue to move forward. And I do believe it's, I mentioned in my daily prayer that I send out by email every day that God is opening up new doors for small business people. I believe that. Even in the bartering business, I've been talking to people about bartering. I believe it's one of the coming things that's going to happen in America. And so I believe there's opportunities out there. I certainly agree with you on that. I really appreciate you being on today. Steve Pierce, United States Congressman from the state of New Mexico, my friend. And I want everybody to be praying for you in Congress, because I know it's a crucial year. And to go to Google, Just Fly the Plane Stupid by Steve Pierce, order that book on Amazon and wherever you can find it. It'd be great reading. And let's all join with Room 219. Google in Room 219, and let's be praying with the Senate, the House of Representatives. And Steve, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being on today. Could you conclude with a prayer,
Absolutely.
However you want to pray.
All of your listeners to join us on Facebook, REP Steve Pierce. Like us and keep up with us there. But if they will join me in prayer now, we'll lead that. Lord, we just bring ourselves before you in humility right now, declaring that we do not know the future. We don't know the answers. Sometimes we have trouble even discerning the past and what the meaning of that is. Lord, we know that many people are struggling just to make ends meet. There are economic stresses, there are psychological and emotional and spiritual stresses that are in every life. And we just ask, Lord, that you will give each one of our listeners the understanding that it is not that we are to be free from the storms of life, but that it's how we navigate in the storms of life that will give the answers to us. So let us be the calm in the storm. As people around us look to us, let them find that calmness and peace that you offer all of us through our lives, through our, not our speeches and our words, but instead through our actions.
Yes.
So let us live quiet lives of dedication, of quiet lives of discipline, and let us be the calm in the storm. Let us be the hands and feet of God, as it's His only plan. If we're to impact those around us, it has to be us being God's hands and feet to accomplish those tasks. So let us go forth into the uncertainty. Let us be bold and courageous as we face these difficult times in our nation, and let us be the answer. It's through God's Son, Jesus, that we pray all of these things. Amen.
Thank you very much, Congressman Steve Pierce from New Mexico, my friend. And I know that there's hope for our nation, because you are there on Capitol Hill. I know that you're praying. You're a very incredible voice there in Congress. And I just encourage people to follow you, whether they are in your district or not. They can follow you on Facebook, and I follow you on Instagram.
Absolutely. My daughter's the one who, my granddaughter's the one who insisted that we get the Instagram. When your granddaughter says it, you jump. So, Dale, I appreciate your long friendship. Appreciate your constant work in the kingdom, and just keep it up.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. And give,
right.
give our regards
That's
to your wife,
all
Cynthia.
Of your listeners.
Yeah.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Goodbye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
Leave it all. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as you show your face, we'll see your glory here. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing.
us every day. That little boy of mine, no one will ever know just what his coming has meant, because we love him so. He's something heaven has sent. He climbs upon my knee. He's all the world to me. To me he'll always be that little boy of mine.
Welcome home. they hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Crimson stain, he washed me white.